Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Giant Bendari. He is well known, I know, to a lot of our longtime listeners, all of our new listeners. Giant is a consultant to a lot of the big money investors in the resource space. Now, Giant, before we get into what's going on in resources, China has been in the news quite a bit, and they've been in the news for what seems like more negative reasons, as the country seems to be going after, attacking some of their large companies, some of their publicly traded companies. This has brought a lot of fear into some investors' minds, just in terms of, well, is China going to take down their own market? Is that going to lead other markets for a drastic fall? Giant, what are your thoughts on what's going on in China, especially with the moves that they have been doing to their own stocks, pulling them lower?
So, Corey, I'm not so worried about what China has been up to over the last few months, including when it had to do with the disappearance of the CEO of Alibaba. Now, the thing is that this country has grown enormously and consistently for the last three decades. There is virtually no history in the modern times when a country has grown so rapidly and has not started to overheat or not have had social instabilities in a very bad way. So China has avoided both of these problems, overheating and social instability. And China wants to make sure that they do not face social instability in the near term. Now, Corey, as I was telling you earlier, I have actually lost a lot of money in some of the Chinese stocks that I am invested in because of the fall in IT and banking stocks in China. But people have to remember that a stock market is something very different from the real economy. A stock market can go up and down exactly in opposition to what's happening with the economy. I see nothing wrong with the Chinese economy right now. Chinese growth continues at its normal pace of 8% per year. I hear nothing negative about China. Now, of course, I have heard about some COVID-related problems in isolated parts of China, but the economy is doing perfectly fine for me. China is, of course, worried about getting isolated from the Western countries. So they want to develop their own chips and they want to protect their resource supplies. And they want to make sure that their banking system and IT companies follow certain regulations. And now, again, as I said, if a country has grown so much, the government maybe thinks that it needs to catch up with in terms of regulations.
Yeah, John, I was going to ask you about that because most of the news I've seen is about the regulation side of things. Do you think it's possible that China is just trying to tighten down their ship a little bit so that they look better for the global stage and can increase trade?
I don't think so. I think their primary focus is to maintain social stability within their country. They also have a huge property speculation market, and I invest in some development and property companies in China. And there's a massive, massive amount of speculation happening in China. People own 2, 3, 4, 5 flats, and they try to flip those flats. People lose their properties because the construction people never complete constructions or hand over the properties to the owner. So there's a lot of corruption, a lot of crazy things happening in the property market in China. So again, I understand that China wants to rein in on the property market. And as a result, property companies have suffered as well. So again, I think most of what they have done seems to be to rein in on possibility of chaos developing in the society. And again, remember, as far as the banking system is concerned, there are a lot of informal banking mechanisms in China. And that can lead to a lot of problems. I personally know of people whose relatives are on the run because the informal bankers are chasing them down to get money back from them. So this can become very chaotic and sort of criminal. And I think government wants to rein in on those things.
So, Giant, when it comes to these stocks, you've even mentioned that you've lost money in them. However, still sounds like you like them. So is this a potential buying opportunity if someone wants to dabble in maybe a different sector, if they don't have exposure to some of these Chinese stocks? Do you think now is a good time to take a long position?
Well, yes, I do invest in some. I say I invest about 10 to 20% of my time looking at companies outside the resource sector for my clients. And I, of course, invest in those companies myself. I am not very sure if this is a good time, but I am coming to a conclusion as time passes by that the bottom has reached as far as Chinese stocks are concerned. So going forward, these companies should improve rather than continue to go down. But again, my assessment is more based on a subjective feeling rather than an objective analysis. So I can only be so much assertive about my claim.
Well, Giant, you mentioned that you don't really see China slowing down that much, so, and that they're still continuing to grow. And a lot of people, like you mentioned, think the opposite. They think when there's problems in the stock market that things aren't growing. But from your perspective, are they still building out infrastructure? And more particularly, how does that relate to the commodities? Are they still consuming as many commodities as they were in the last super cycle? And are they still going to be a buyer in this one?
Shad, I haven't been to China for the last 1.5 years, which is such a shame because I have, of course, lost touch with the feeling of what actually is happening in China. But again, the data and the stories I hear from China tells me that infrastructure boom continues. They continue to build infrastructure, which means that consumption of commodities continues apace. So I don't see personally why consumption of commodities might suffer in the short term. In fact, as you know, in 2020, government actually increased its expenditure on infrastructure, which meant that more commodities got consumed last year as a result of that. So again, I don't see anything really negative. But again, the problem is a lot of people think that the stock market and the economy are connected somehow. They don't have to be connected. Economy can suffer and the stock market can continue to do very well, or vice versa, which is what's happening in China, which is that the economy is doing very well, but because of government trying to rein in on companies that might not have been following certain code of conduct, means that those share prices have fallen.
So then back to the whole resource sector, if you see China continuing, however, there is still this perception that things are a bit awry in China. Does that mean that China's kind of neutral in terms of commodities? Maybe, again, as China seems to do, set a floor for prices, but not be maybe the next big driver that everyone, or that at least resource investors need?
I don't think so. I think people are always pessimistic about China because that's the image that they get watching the mainstream media. China is a much better country than a lot of people think. I find it a reasonably free country. I find it extremely, extremely safe, actually. I find it safer than most American cities, for example. So China is a much better place than people have think it is. That emotional thing about China colored their opinion about the future of China. They are always pessimistic. And I have seen that for the last 15 years, that people always are pessimistic about the next couple of years to do with China. And I haven't seen anything that tells me to be pessimistic about China. I think I'm more optimistic about China than most other countries, which means that what people are expecting in terms of the future commodity consumption of China is going to be lower than what I think will happen, because China will continue to buy at least the similar amount of commodities going forward.
Well, Giant, we had started talking off mic just about in the resource sector, if there was any companies that had caught your eye. And you had mentioned you've been digging deeper into Aztec Minerals, which we've had on the show recently. We've had Simon on, and their Tombstone project. So why don't you walk us through what you're looking at as far as why you like the project and what caught your eye about Aztec Minerals?
Right. So, Shad, I haven't really sit down with Simon face to face. I have never met him before, but I saw their news release and I was very intrigued by what they had hit. They hit at their Tombstone project close to 100 meters of more than 2 grams per ton gold equivalent in oxidized form in Arizona, which to me looks extremely good grade and extremely good width. Now, this might not be the real width. It might be the real width might be only half as much, but even then, that's actually a very good intersection for oxidized mineralization when you can heap leach the rock. And this project used to be a mine in the past, so they know about the metallurgy. They know that this you can recover gold and silver from this rock. And then they hit another 32 meters of 6.3 meters gold equivalent. Again, very shallow, between 50 to 80 meters from surface, all oxidized in Arizona. It looks very sexy to me. And when I look at the graph, what I do, Chad, is that I try to understand how far the zones are, and I try to create a 3D structure of what kind of mineralization they might have within that 3D structure. And you can do a very simple calculation, which is that you can do the two hits, multiply that by what you expect to be the width of it, which means that you try to sort of do a volumetric calculation of what might be within those drill holes. And then you multiply it by 2.5 to get pretty much the tonnage of what might be within those holes. And you can start to understand what kind of ounces they might have in the area that they have drilled so far.
So, Giant, what do you think is going to drive this stock? Because in all fairness, they have released some good drill results. I realize through kind of the middle of these summer doldrums, the market hasn't really reacted to that. What do you think could be the catalyst?
So, Corey, I haven't really bought too many of this stock either. Now, this is the interesting thing about the company. They have about 57 million shares outstanding, and 11 million warrants expired last month. Okay, 11 million warrants expired last month. Now, a lot of those warrants are in the market right now to be sold. Now, that might be an opportunity for me to buy this company. But then I also think that the company might be short of cash, in which case I don't necessarily want to buy if the company might do a financing at lower than the current share price. So this is where I'm struggling with. But over the next few weeks, once the warrants which have been exercised are gone, have been processed, which means that they have been sold by those who want to sell, and there is a better clarity on the cash situation of the company, I think the company should pick up, the share price should pick up. It's only a $20 million company when some of the holes they have had in Arizona look very good. That should by itself, assuming there's no red flags associated with the project, that this by itself should underpin the value of the company. And then they have a porphyry discovery in Brazil, in Mexico, which by itself, again, can justify the market capitalization of the company. Now, again, this is a bit of arm waving because I haven't really sit down with the management to feel more confident about the company. But so far, I feel very good about it.
Okay. Well, Giant, I appreciate your insights there. I am a shareholder of Aztec Minerals. I like the work that's been done at both projects, too. And you brought up the Mexican project, Cervantes, at the end there. If anybody wants more information or has any questions on Aztec Minerals, you can always email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get either Giant or Simon Dykowski, the president and CEO of Aztec, to address those. But in the meantime, Giant, thank you as always for your insights. We'll chat again in another few weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you very much, Chad and Corey.